Hello, I hope you're having a lovely day today. Thank you so much for all of your comments on the past two videos. I am very grateful for all of you and just having such a nice community. And I know that it encourages all of us because I think sometimes it can feel like, is there anyone else in the world who believes these things? And so, yeah, it's very encouraging always reading your comments and testimonies. And if you're new here and you don't like what I'm saying, you're free to disagree with me. I do not delete comments that disagree with me, but I will delete comments that are mean and rude. And if you are mean and rude to someone else who has commented, then you will be banned from ever commenting on my videos again because that is not what we do here. And one time I was in a conversation with a few ladies and they brought up the topic of submission, and so as I was talking with them about my views, I thought that maybe they were genuinely interested, but the longer the conversation went on, the more I realized, oh, this is like just becoming very contentious and aggressive. And I left the conversation feeling very icky, and what came to my mind afterwards was, don't become a contentious woman by contending with contentious women. And so I've taken that into the comment section of the video. So even if you disagree with me, if you're kind, I'll happily respond. But if you're just having a bad day and taking it out on the video that you decided to click on to watch, then I'm not going to engage with you. And oftentimes I will say that I don't mind leaving up disagreeable comments because oftentimes they prove further the point of what I'm saying in the video. So all of that to say, thank you all so much just for being such a nice group of ladies. It's really encouraging. So today's video is on reframing the role of a wife. And to start this off, I am going to talk about knowing what your worldview is and knowing what other people's worldview is. So that's pretty much what is talked about in all of these videos that I share, the videos that my husband and I have done on our separate channel. It's all about your worldview. I love knowing what words mean. It's fun for me to understand the meaning of words, especially old dictionary definitions. And in my last video, or two videos ago, I shared the definition of revival from my late 1800s dictionary, and one of you said, why, what made you interested, or what made you read an old dictionary? And so, if you are newer to my channel, I like old dictionaries because words have often changed over time, and as my husband has said before, maliciously they have changed. And so it's interesting to know what the meaning of words once were. And I did not realize this until I kind of stumbled into buying dictionaries. We would go to auctions in 2020, and that was when I got my first dictionary, was this beautiful old 1800s dictionary. And I love the topic of the home economy. It has blessed me in understanding my role in being a homemaker. And so I started looking up dictionary meaning for homemaker. Is the word homemaker in the dictionary? What about housewife? And all of those words. And I was like, oh, let's just look up the word home economics or home economy. And I discovered that the word economy, actually, it stems from the word oikonomia, and it means to manage the home. And my mind was blown because I'm like, okay, I always say home economy, but that's really just saying home economy because the word economy means home management. And so saying home economy means home management. But my mind was blown because I was like, wow, that word economy has totally changed meaning today from what it used to mean in the late 1800s and even in the early 1900s. And so, since we're talking about reframing the role of a wife, this is all about knowing what your worldview is. And so I thought, why don't I just look up what the meaning of worldview is and read it? So I start going through my old dictionaries, and worldview is not in any of them. And then the first one that it was in was this dictionary, which is huge. This is my biggest dictionary. It is so beautiful. Look at the pages. I'm pressing flowers in it, so that's what the wax paper's in there for. This is the side view of it. I think this was actually written in the 1930s. Yeah, 1936 was when this dictionary came out, so a little less, probably, what is that, 89 years? This dictionary did have the word worldview in it, but it did not have a definition next to it. It had a German word next to it, and I know that there are several of you ladies that watch this channel who are German. So for the word worldview, it actually sends you to the word Weltanschauung. And this word in this dictionary means literally worldview, a conception of the course of events in and of the purpose of the world as a whole. And in this one, it means literally a worldview, a philosophy that gives an explanation of history in general or the purpose of the world as a whole. And then another definition is your outlook on the world, as far as bringing ideas, philosophies, religion together. So it seems that this German word doesn't have a great translation into English. We do not have a good way to describe this German word, but I liked that. What is your outlook? How do you bring different ideas? How does it come together to form how you see the world? That's in past videos, I've always said your worldview is how you see the world, because that's usually how my husband describes it. And so it's really helpful to know people's worldviews, because there are liberal worldviews, there are feminist worldviews, there are communist worldviews, there are biblical worldviews. There's an abundance of different worldviews, how you see the world. And so that's why we like studying Wendell Berry, is because we love localism. We see how localism actually ties into a biblical worldview. The concept of the home economy ties into a biblical worldview. So you can see all these different topics and ideas and how they come together to see how we view the world. And how we view the world from a biblical worldview is very different from what the popular culture is encouraging. What is the popular culture today? It is a very liberal popular culture. And so the liberal popular culture has framed the role of a wife in a very different way than what the Bible frames the role of a wife. And that is why, if you don't do anything else from watching my videos, I encourage you to just get into the Word and ask God to speak to you, because He will. And so the reason why we have to reframe our mind on a lot of things is because we have just been indoctrinated by the popular culture's worldview. And if we look at Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we must renew our mind. And sometimes that means reframing what we always thought or what we were trained to believe about being a wife versus what the Bible actually says about being a wife. And there's actually so many scriptures in the Bible about being a wife. So before going into what the Bible says about being a wife, I do want to just share on what the popular culture's worldview is on the role of a wife, because that is how many are influenced. It is the way that universities have trained you, school systems, and just popular culture in general. And so you may have just stumbled into this path without even realizing that you are living in a liberal worldview. So a lot of times the popular culture, they see the role of a wife as a woman who should get a career. And there's different variations with this, obviously. So I'm going to just give a few examples of what is represented in, or what is thought to be the role of a wife in our popular culture. But oftentimes, I've said in other videos, the topic of androgyny, that men and women will function the same. They'll do the same things. A woman can do anything a man can do. And so it's largely pushed that women go and get a career or go and pursue higher education after higher education after higher education and go deeply in debt. She becomes a highly independent and career-oriented. Scott, this always confuses me, that word, because Scott says orientated, but we say oriented, right? That always confuses me, yeah. Highly, career oriented. They both work. It's just different languages say different things. So in America, we usually say oriented. So they become very highly career oriented, and then they get married, or they, while being married, they become career oriented. And so she has her work, she has her career, she has her purpose, her mission. Meanwhile, her husband has his work, his career, his mission, and it's very separate. And oftentimes with this wife, her value comes from her career. Her identity is wrapped around in her career, in her external achievements and successes. And what happens from that is the home is often considered a place of just a base where you go back to at night to sleep and watch TV. There isn't much producing at the home. It is just a literal home base. It is a house where you can come back to with your husband. And often in these situations, because the wife is career oriented, the children will be outsourced to another institution. And so again, everyone just comes home, and home is often a place of consumption within this context of a wife and a husband who both work outside of the home, career mission, totally separate. Then there's also many women in this worldview that I wouldn't even call career oriented. Like, they really don't care about their career, but the husband and the wife still sees themselves as equal economic partners. And so everything's 50-50. So the husband still needs to go out and work, and the wife will often just have a job as a way of making money. So she might not get her identity from it, but she sees that that is the way that she is contributing to her household. I would say that that was me when Scott and I first got married. We were both working, and I wasn't obsessed. I didn't get my identity from my work. I was working at Trader Joe's at the time, but I had this mindset that I cannot come home until I'm pregnant, because then that's a good excuse for me to come home because there's children in the picture. And if I quit my job to come home now, then I'm not contributing to our family. And then I look like a lazy bum, and I'm not adding value to the world because I'm just at home. And so you do have many women who may not get their identity or value from their job, but they're working a job because they think that that is the right thing to do, to add value to their home. Because again, that is what we have been trained to believe, is that to bring economic value into your home is going out and making money. That is your role as a wife, is equal provider as your husband. And then I would also say, what's in this popular worldview is that if a wife does stay home, it's because her husband makes a lot of money, and so she just gets to stay home and spend all of her husband's money, so she can schedule nail appointments and gym and have an expensive car and expensive name brand clothes. And that's how she spends her days, is as a consumer. She is a consumptive wife because her husband makes a lot of money, and so she is the stay-at-home wife or the stay-at-home mom by circumstance. And again, I know a lot of people have this worldview, because when I quit my job to come home, I had people say to me, but what do you do all day? Do you just sit and watch Netflix? And that immediately revealed to me that, okay, you do not understand a home economy. You do not understand the home as a place of production. You just think of home as a place of consumption. So if I'm at home, then I'm not producing anything. I'm not building our home. I'm not stewarding. I am just consuming. So you may have seen yourself in any of these situations, and you may see the people who don't understand the lifestyle that you're living now, that that is why they cannot comprehend what you and your husband are doing, what your worldview is because they do not see the world the way that you see the world. And so they can only think within, well, if you're not out working a job and you're not out making money and you're not equally contributing financially to your household, then you must be lazy. That is their only frame of mind. And so what is the biblical worldview of a wife? What does it look like to reframe your mind of the role of a wife according to what the Bible says? Proverbs 14:1, it says, "The wisest of women builds her home. A foolish woman tears it down." Titus 2, verses 3 through 5 says that the older women should teach the younger women to love their husbands, love their children, to be pure, kind, keepers at home, self-controlled, submitting to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So that must be important if it's in the Bible, and the Bible is literally what God thinks. And then if we go straight back to the very beginning, when God made Adam and when God made Eve to be Adam's helper. Now, I find it really interesting. I have a few videos on helping my husband is my career. I've had this comment come up many times. I assume Christian ladies commenting saying, well, that's actually not what the original language meant. It's really bizarre to me because I'm like, do you hate your husband? Why are you fighting so hard against the concept of helping your husband? That's weird. I literally cannot understand why it's so offensive to help your husband. Like, I like my husband, so it is so much fun and such an honor that I get to help him. And when you're reading your Bible, you have to have a view of who God is, and God is a loving father. So his ways that are in his word, they are for our good. When I first got married, Scott introduced me to a philosopher named Stefan Molyneux, and we would listen to his podcast. He did call-in shows and stuff, and we really enjoyed his podcast. And at that time, he was a complete atheist. It was obvious that he was atheist, but it was really interesting because the things that he talked about was very much aligned with the Bible. He told girls to save themselves for marriage. He encouraged ladies to get married and to have children young. I mean, he was the first person that I had ever heard that talked about a woman's fertility timeline. And it's very interesting because we don't listen to his stuff anymore just because we just haven't, not for any particular reason, but he had come to have an amazing respect for Christianity. And I actually think Scott and I were like, he is definitely becoming a Christian, because when you study psychology, the more you see, wait a second, God's ways is actually the best way. So when we talk about being our husband's helper, it's not out of some legalism thing. It's actually because it will be a huge blessing to your life and marriage. And I would say the only time that people have a really hard time with it is because they are comparing themselves to other people who are in a different situation from them. So if you're having a hard time in your context of being a wife, mom, and keeper of the home, what are you consuming? Who are you consuming from? Because often it will come from a place of you have been comparing yourself to someone else, and so that's why you're having a hard time. But if you stopped looking around, stop looking to the left and to the right, and focus on what God has put before you and being a good steward of what God has given you, then there is great joy. And I can say that for myself, because when I start thinking of what could have been, we don't have children. I would love to have children. And when I start thinking of, well, if we had children, or if I could do this, if I had had that, you get in this terrible doom loop of sadness, comparison. And when I get out of that, which you can get out of that by thinking, but what are all the things that God has given me? And actually, I'm having a great time. Life is fun. Yes, I'm sad that I don't have children yet, but I have so much to be thankful for. I have an amazing husband. We're building a life that we dreamed, and that is what I'm grateful for. And so if you find yourself spiraling or getting discouraged, who are you watching? Who are you consuming from? Do you need to take a break from social media? Take a break, cut it all off, get into the Bible and ask God to show you what he's put in front of you, uniquely you, because he's given something specific to you. He's given your family, your husband, your children uniquely for you to steward while you're here on this earth. And then there comes great joy from that. Okay, I don't know how I got onto that rabbit trail, but I'm going to try to bring it back to reframing the role of a wife. And so we're going to go back to what I was saying with Eve being Adam's helper. and how I said I don't understand how people get so angry against that. But I will say this is why it's important for single ladies to know what the guy they're dating to get married to, what his values are. Because what he values is what you're gonna come into alignment with. And if you have different values, then you're gonna have a hard time. And so when Scott and I got married, the life that we're living now is literally nothing like what we talked about when we were dating at all. But what we talked about was what we valued, and we valued following God no matter the cost. And that is still the life that we live. So following God no matter the cost has led us in a completely different direction than we thought then. But it is still our number one value, is following God no matter the cost. And so we've been able to do it together. And so that leads me into, how do wives help their husbands? And that is going to be unique to your household and your husband. There is no template for this, because God's design for every husband, every marriage, every household is going to be uniquely different. This is where it's important to know the direction that you and your husband are going. Well, what is my husband's mission? Ask your husband, what is your mission? Or if that's not a great frame or a great word to use, mission, then you could say, what is your values? What is our values as a family? What are the things that we find most important? And how do we build a life towards our values? That is going to be what it looks like in your life to help your husband, is to know what his mission is, or to know what his values are, and to help in that mission. When it comes to cooking and cleaning and laundry and all of that stuff, to help our husband be able to do what God made him to do, the role of a husband is to be a provider, to be able to help him be the provider for our family. My way of helping him is by taking care of food. My husband does not have to think about food, because that is what I take care of. I get to help by making food. It's always, again, so bizarre to me when people are like, well, God didn't make women just to cook, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, someone has to cook. And if my husband is working to provide for our family, it is my greatest joy to be able to provide food for him. Now, if there is a husband who loves to cook, he finds so much joy and pleasure in cooking, then it's not like going against biblical gender roles if the husband wants to cook. And that's where it comes down to every household being unique and knowing what your values are and why you can't compare yourself to other households. Our entire marriage, my husband has mowed. I haven't touched the lawnmower since we've gotten married. Until this year. And Scott's work it's so busy. And so the grass was getting long, and I could feel myself feeling resentful toward him of, you haven't mowed the grass. You haven't mowed the grass. That's what you're supposed to be doing, is mowing the grass. And I felt like the Holy Spirit convicted me of, what does it look like to help your husband in this season? And I was like, it looks like me mowing the grass. I am fully capable of mowing. And so I was like, oh, okay, why am I making this difficult? Me helping my husband looks different in this season because he does not have the time to be able to do that. Or if we want to have a fun night together, I'd rather mow in my time while he's working, so that way we can have a nice peaceful evening together and he's not working and then coming home and doing that work. That's something that I can do to take off of his plate. It's amazing how simple that little line just changes your whole perspective of, what does it look like to help your husband? And then there's a great joy in it, because, and I think it's in Colossians, it says, whatever you do, do it unto the glory of God. Do it for the glory of God. So when I'm mowing my yard, I am helping my husband, and I'm also doing it for the glory of God. And it's interesting, because I think all of the other things in Titus 2 all tie into loving your husband. So loving your husband, you are loving your husband by loving your children and taking care of your children, being able to be home so that way you're not having to outsource your children to be raised by someone else, that is loving and being a helper to your husband. Being a keeper of the home, that way you don't have to outsource for other people to keep your home, that is loving your husband. Being kind, that's loving to your husband. Being pure, loving to your husband. Being self-controlled, loving to your husband. Being submissive to your own husband, obviously, is loving your husband. With a biblical worldview, we believe that our husband is the head of the home, and that is very offensive to the popular worldview. But again, God's word is for our good, and it's for our good that our husbands are the head of the home, because our husbands were made to be providers and protectors. Because my husband knows he is the head of our family, the weight of decisions is a lot more. And that does not mean that we do not process through decisions together. We're always processing through decisions together. I am his helper. I help him with thought process of what about this? What about that? What about that? We talk about these things and then he makes the decision and I support him in making that decision. It's not weird, it's not hard, it's a blessing. It creates peace in the home because I'm not anxious about having to be the head of our household, of having to lead the household. I've said this to Tocqueville quote many times, but it's just so good. The last line where it says, it leads to weak men and disorderly women. Have you ever been around a family where the wife is the head and the husband is the submissive one? It's not enjoyable. You can feel the contention in the room. And again, another scripture is there. I mean, filled in Proverbs is the example of a quarrelsome wife and how it is better to be far away from her. A lot of times what society, popular culture pressures women into creates a quarrelsome and contentious woman. Now it gets interesting with the money side of things, because I've said in other videos that a woman can make money, a wife can make money, but it should not be her priority. And what I have seen as homemaking has become more and more popular is many women are not understanding the role of a wife when it comes to homemaking. Oftentimes being a helper to your husband is completely left out. And when that happens, what I have seen is women turning homemaking into how do I make money from home so I can build my mission and purpose to make money. And then what happens is a woman focuses so much on whatever this home business is that she wants her husband to pause or stop his work to help her with her business. And that is an inversion of roles. Now, I have said in past videos that I am not saying these things as a way of saying women cannot make money, you're just supposed to be home, women cannot make money, because there's always comments of people saying, are you saying women can't make money? That's not what I'm saying. The Proverbs 31 woman, she did sell her linen sashes. What I am saying though is there is, I feel, a very unhealthy vision that is being given through YouTube, Instagram, that if you quit your job to come home and be a homemaker, now you need to build media and sell stuff in order to stay home. So there's a lot of pressure on women to still make money. And often the pressure comes from ladies on media that call themselves homemakers that then want you to buy their material or their course to teach you how to build your media so you can make money. And I'm like, do you not see that you left one rat race only to enter another rat race of media? And how, if you're focusing on that, you are not focusing on being a helper to your husband, a mother to your children and a homemaker. And I think that maybe that can be incorporated into your faith. I don't know. I struggle with this. I am verbally processing with you. I think it just makes me sad that there's so much pressure on women to make money instead of believing for their husband to do what God has made him to do, to be a provider and to take God at his word and to start praying for your husband that supernaturally your husband would be promoted, that God would enable him to make more money, and trust the Lord to provide for you. And over time, so this is the thing, if you were raised with, which is the ideal, if you were raised in understanding your home as an economy and you were raised in the incredible skills of learning how to clean, learning how to be resourceful, learning how to cook, learning all of these things, you didn't waste time going to university, you have spent your whole life focusing on building your home, home economic skills, how to manage resources, then oftentimes I feel like in that case, yes, you have been trained your whole life. So that way there's just systems that work. And so there are seasons that could come up where, yeah, making money could come naturally to you in that season because you're not starting from nothing. However, for many of us, we have not been trained in any way of how to manage a home. You've been trained to go and get a job. And so when you quit your job to become a homemaker, you don't have a clue what you're doing. You don't know how to manage your home. You don't know how to manage resources. You don't know how to steward your husband's income. And so you're blowing money, you're blowing resources. And then on top of that, you're trying to make money. And that is a lot. And so my thought is, let's teach women how to build her home economy, how to steward the resources that she has, how to build a life of contentment around what you have, creating what you consume. It's always cheaper to make things from home, to buy in bulk, to steward your resources well, to go without, to track your income, to know exactly where it's going. That is the foundation of building your home economy. And once you have that going, then you can add other things in. But I will still caveat and say that other things that you add in should still be in alignment with your husband's mission and value. And a lot of time, if you're struggling, the reason you're struggling is probably because you've forgotten your vision. You've forgotten the vision for your household. So go back to your husband or write out, what is our values? Where are we going? What are we doing? Renew your mind at the beginning of every day of, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing today, is because we have a vision and values. My husband has a mission and we want to get here. And it's amazing how the little choices over time that you do daily to be able to look back and see, we have done it. We are doing it. I can see that with our life. When I first quit my job to come home, I didn't know how to cook. I did not cook from ingredients at all. Most of the food that I bought was from Trader Joe's and it was all the prepackaged stuff. And so I had to learn. And I had this vision for a bulk food pantry. I wanted an open pantry with all of my ingredients in glass jars. And it took 2 or 3 years, but that is now just normal life, is our bulk food pantry. I love it. It's beautiful. The garden, when I quit my job to come home, it was our first garden season. And I had no clue what I was doing. I literally dug into the ground, planted seeds, and we had pumpkins take over our whole garden. And obviously the nutrients in the ground was so bad that these giant vines only got 2 or 3 pumpkins from this whole area. And now, today, fast forward to where we are now, I am constantly preserving the food that we are growing. Most of the food that we've eaten this summer is from the food from our garden. I have butternut that I didn't even plant this year. We have grown I'm well over 100 butternut, and they're massive. I mean, look at this. This is huge. This is your average store-bought butternut. this is from our garden. Well, this is from our garden too, but this is like what you would think, like, oh, I'm gonna buy butternut from the store. This is what our garden grew, and I didn't even plant butternut. But we've learned how to build our soil. We've learned how to garden, but that's been over the course of 7 years. It's taken small little choices to move towards the things that we value, to build the lifestyle that we want to live. And had I had this thought when I quit my job that I need to make money, I think that I would have been really distracted from our family's mission. And I think I would have had a hard time. And I'm really grateful because we didn't have children when I quit. We still don't have children, but because we didn't have children when I quit my job, my mindset very much was, I'm quitting my job to help my husband. And so I hope that that is your mindset. First and foremost, with being a homemaker, is what does it look like for you in this season? Because it changes with the season, but what does it look like for you in this season to be a helper to your husband? In Proverbs 31, it says that she does her husband good, not harm, all the days of her life. And I can't help but wonder, with the pressure of women to create businesses at home, is that making you a contentious woman? I'm gonna give an example with YouTube. Me having a YouTube channel isn't stopping me from helping my husband. Because I haven't put restrictions on myself of like, I have to post so many days a week, I'm not frantically stressed out of, oh, I have to record a video because I, in order to build my business and in order to be successful on YouTube, I have to create a video, like, leave me alone, I need to make a video. I don't deal with any of that. There are many weeks where I do not post a video because my life, what I'm doing in my life, there is important things that need to be done, and YouTube is what falls off. And that's why I've always said I will never be consistent with posting on YouTube. And even when I started this Home with Kelly channel, because originally it was Scott and Kelly, and we still have that channel up, we just don't post on it anymore. But when I started this Home with Kelly channel, Of course, we still want children. And so I thought, I never want this to get a hold on me to where we become reliant on YouTube to make money. That's not what we want, because then my husband is helping me instead of me helping my husband. And I think you see that a lot with media, of wives who have built media empires and like, I've retired my husband. And I'm like, it's kind of sad, like him becoming her helpmeet. And the inversion of roles that happens with that. And then also the pressure of the wife to maintain that instead of her husband having the work and her helping him. It's all very interesting. It's just very interesting dynamics. But I say all of that to hopefully free you from the pressure that I think is often put on women who come home and quit their jobs, is there's a lot of pressure to build a business or to build an online media thing. So I say all of that to say, if you're gonna do something to make money, make sure it's not making you a contentious woman. Make it something that you can hold with open hands. That, like, I know ladies who do like seasonal drops. They make products and then they seasonally drop, like, oh, I have a product drop. That's a blessing, because then you can make it when you have time and there's not this pressure, this expectation of every week I have to maintain a stock. That's a lot of pressure. So to take that pressure off of yourself, that allows you to be a good helper to your husband. So take away from this video, know the vision, know your husband's mission. What are you guys working towards, building towards? Keep that at the forefront of your mind. Get into the Word of God. Ask Jesus to help you know every day, what am I supposed to be doing today? Often, I will pray in the mornings, Jesus, I thank you that today I will be at the right place, at the right time, with the right people. And it's amazing. I can look back in my life and be like, yep, the Lord directed my steps today. I didn't know I was going to be here. I didn't know I was going to meet this person, but God has been faithful in directing my steps. And so allowing ourselves to be vessels, allowing ourselves to be like Mary, Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. God, I am your servant. I want to live my life to give you glory. That is what our prayer is. I want to live my life to be helper to my husband, because marriage is a picture of us with Jesus. So being submissive to your husband, helping your husband, is a direct reflection of your heart posture towards Jesus. So I know this was a long video today. I was a little bit wordy, but I hope it was an encouragement to you. I'm gonna put this butternut back up on the shelf. And I hope that you have a lovely rest of your day. God bless you.